This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And JP back on Afternoon Drive. Browns linebacker Devin Bush coming up in 40 minutes time, but we spare no more time getting to Ross Tucker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, Ross and I had a kerfuffle last week. We make good this week. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, hi, buddy.
Hey, Nick. How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been exactly 7 days. let's see here. We had the thing about Stefanski, then the Steelers win. Are you here to gloat is what the people want to know.
No, I don't need to do that. I think the people did that for me. I think the performance on Thursday night kind of did that for me. I will say this, and I would say this in any city that I talk to anywhere, one of my least favorite things is when any member of the media or fan or whoever tries to talk about a team's culture or what's going on inside the locker room, because it's just impossible to know. I mean, there really is no way. I prefer as much as possible to talk about what's actually going on inside the white lines. Listen, the transactions that they make, are they good? Are they bad? Was it a smart move, bad move? Is this player playing well or not playing well? As opposed to things I would say are somewhat ambiguous and almost impossible to know for people like us in terms of culture. But I guess I'm guilty of it myself because I was kind of defending the Browns culture last week, but kind of paid off for me with that win over the Steelers. Culture looked okay Thursday night, Nick.
Those culture pills, they must have taken them. So with that, though, like, Juan Thornhill at the end of the Saints game got caught on camera, like, basically slowing up and not running as hard as he could. We've had Jed Wills issues. So like, I guess my thing is, I'm not trying to counter you on this. I think it's more when we see guys, and then Juan Thornhill admitted this week, no, you got me on camera. I didn't play that hard. And that was in the midst of a 21-point collapse by the Browns. Like, do we owe that to culture? Is that an individual thing? How can we assess that if it's not culture and culture pills?
It's a good question. I assess that in a case-by-case basis because I think it's really hard to say, oh, man, they have a bad culture and they're not playing hard when you watch, like, Myles Garrett playing his you-know-what off. You know, because Thornhill, whatever he did, I don't think that's a reflection of the culture. I don't think it's a reflection on the other guys. I'll give you an example, okay? In 2002, I was playing for the Cowboys, and it was pretty clear the day of our second-to-last game, we're playing the Eagles on a Saturday night game, you know, one of those late-season Saturday night games, and they said that on ESPN, Chris Morrison said that Jerry Jones had met with Bill Parcells that morning or that week. So we went into the locker room that night and we knew for sure that Campo was getting fired. And we had two games left to play. And for me, I just played even harder. I prepared even harder because I knew changes were coming, and I knew I wanted to stay. And if I wasn't going to stay, I wanted to play well enough to get a chance somewhere else. Meanwhile, there was like seven guys that skipped curfew before the game against Washington the next week because they didn't care, so they weren't in their bed where they were supposed to be at 11 the night before a game. I guess I would have an issue if someone looked at that as culture. I would look at that as those guys not having the same level of maturity and or professionalism that a lot of the others had, if that makes sense. I would like to take it on a case-by-case basis. I mean, Jedrick Wills comes out and says, you know, I can't believe I lost my starting job because of a business decision. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know how anybody could think that or say that. I don't know how he could think he's entitled to keep his job. I don't know how he would think it's smart to say he made a business decision. I think that's a question for Jedrick Wills, and I think the other question is a question for Thornhill.
Well, Ross, with the win, we now have a spark out of Jameis Winston, and a lot of fans are buying into that. The question I have for you is, what do you think long-term the Browns are trying to do here? I can't figure it out in regards to not only the rest of this season, but also what the plan might look like for next year, and it's like a choose-your-own-adventure map.
I think it's a really fair question because, you know, there's a lot of cities that are like this right now, a lot of teams are like this, where there's a battle amongst fans. Some fans just want to lose as many games as possible to try to get the best draft choice possible. Others don't. You know, they like seeing their team win. I will say this. I thought Thursday night might have been the most impressive performance by a fan base I have seen in a long time. First of all, usually when the Steelers come to town, it's like half Steelers fans. I'm sure there were some there, and maybe I couldn't see them through the snow, but I didn't see that many Steelers fans on Thursday night, number one. Number two, I didn't see a single person leave. Those people were unbelievable the entire game. I mean, this is what? Were they 2-7, 2-8? Mm-hmm. This is a terrible football team, and your fans, the Browns fans, who I've said before, I'll say it again, I think a strong argument can be made that they're the best fans in pro sports with how loyal and diehard they are, with how little they've gotten on that return of their time invested. It's just spectacular. It's incredible. And I'm only bringing that up because they strike me, and maybe you guys hear differently from people around the area or the callers, but Browns fans strike me as they want to win. They want to win as many games as possible. They sure as heck want to win against their rivals like the Ravens and Steelers like they did. And so I don't think that many fall into the category of, hey, let's lose to get a better draft choice. It's interesting because the Browns, I think, very early, correctly realized that they're not going to do it this year. You know, the Amari Cooper trade, then the Za'Darius Smith trade. I think the most important evaluation in any franchise is a self-evaluation, and I think Andrew Berry and whoever else is involved in those decisions pretty early this season realized where they were at and that this is going to be more of a, whatever you want to call it, restructuring, rebuilding, developmental year, whatever. So I give them credit for that, but that's not the same as, you know, trying to lose or wanting to lose. Especially, I would say, too, like, if you look at this year, the fifth quarterback taken, who nobody else mm-hmm. really wanted, has a great chance to be the offensive rookie of the year now, and Bo Nix. So I think sometimes people get so caught up in draft choice, and higher. You know, I think we've seen over the years that the draft is such a crapshoot that you might be okay. You might be better off not getting Bryce Young. Maybe you're better off getting C.J. Stroud.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So kind of at the heart of this is, all right, if this is the lost season, what does that mean for next year? So what do you think is the most important?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thing for the Browns to do or to avoid doing so that they can avoid turning one lost year into two.
Another good question. Nick, you guys are having one of your best shows in a while. Thankfully, you're making up for last week.
We agree.
Which I think is merited and important. I don't know that there is that much carryover, to be honest with you. I think any of the decisions that we would talk about that try to make it so that next year is not like this year, another lost season, I think those things take place, for the most part, January, February, March. I guess, what I think is interesting to your question and Jonathan's is, like, do they just keep playing Winston to keep winning, or do they play DTR to definitively know what they have in him? And I guess my answer would be, if Winston's playing well and or they're winning, I would leave him in there. If there's a couple games in a row where he really struggles or falters, then I probably would put DTR in there and see what he can do the rest of the year. I'd be surprised if they had a lost year again next year. Now, I don't know what, gymnastics or ninja they're going to do to try to handle this Deshaun Watson situation, but I don't know. I still feel like the Browns have a lot of good players, but it's one of the reasons why this year is so disappointing and frustrating. When I look at the roster, I see a lot of guys that I feel like a bunch of teams would like to have.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, we're generally talking about whether or not Myles Garrett can win his second Defensive Player of the Year award. Like, that's the conversations we're having here.
That's awesome. He's very, very deserving. He's extremely impressive. I don't think they're that far away, but they need a quarterback that can play at a high level. I'm not sure that's Jameis. He's going to try to prove that, I guess, the rest of the year. I guess on some level, I feel like we kind of already know what he is, but maybe he can prove me wrong. I still think that the rest of the roster is very close to being a playoff team. Although I will say, AFC's rough, bro. I mean, really rough. The Dolphins are playing awesome right now, and they're still going to have a tough time because the way the Broncos are playing. I mean, the Dolphins are going to have a very tough time making the playoffs, even though Tua is on fire. And so, That's the issue for the Browns right now, is probably the conference. I mean, think about, like, the Bengals, right? I mean, the Bengals have three elite players at the three arguably most important positions, and they're all playing lights out. They all lead the league at their position. They're 4-7. They have one more win than you guys. And think about, like, mm-hmm. how much of a mess you guys have been this year, and the Bengals only have one more win? Then you guys, and by the way, you guys could have won that game against them. I watched that game. It really is remarkable.
Ross, I do want to know, because I want to get to Ohio State, Michigan real quick here before we let you go. But one of the reports by Albert Breer of SI was that the Browns are looking for somebody this offseason, either in the draft or free agency, to push Deshaun. And this last year, the last couple of years, have been about supporting Deshaun. If Jameis was the guy that supports Deshaun previously. Can he now be the guy to push Deshaun in that same context a year later?
Well, I did not see that report from Albert. I'm a big fan, and that surprises me in the sense that I just have a really tough time picturing Deshaun being part of it next year. But from what I understand, the financial options are very limited. And I guess if you have to have someone play backup quarterback anyway, and you're paying the guy anyway, you know, maybe Watson is that guy, and maybe you do have someone push him. I think Winston could be that guy. You know, it's weird. Unless there's a rookie that you really like, I think I'd probably rather take my chance with a guy like Jameis Winston. And why I say that is he was number one overall pick for a reason. So you know he has the physical ability to make plays. And, you know, maybe he could be Sam Darnold. Maybe Jameis could be next year's Sam Darnold if you actually give him the reps, gets to be in Stefanski's system. I know he got a lot of reps because Watson was out, but I don't know. Are you if they go into next year on the hot seat, and I would expect that that would be the case, that probably, you know, if Stefanski and Barry are back, which I told you guys last week, I would keep them. That said, I think that they would probably go into next year needing to win. Are you going to win with a rookie quarterback, or are you going to try to make the most out of whatever veteran options there are? I'll tell you this much, you know, I thought it was pretty clear that they didn't bring back Flacco because they didn't think Sean Watson could handle that mentally. They didn't want the fans to be calling for Flacco like they would have been week two with how bad Watson was playing. They're not going to do that again. In other words, if this was last year's situation, this offseason, they would bring Flacco back. Maybe that's what they should do. He should bring back.
That's funny. Ross, what's your read on Ohio State and Michigan? To me, it just feels like there's a lot of talent on Ohio State, and the offense for Michigan just not going to be able to score enough against the number one defense in Ohio State.
Well, I think this is a very, very, very dangerous game for Ohio State. Very. Because everybody's expecting them to win. They're heavy favorite. This is basically, you know, Michigan's had a horrible season. This is like the last-ditch effort for Michigan to make their whole season. Like, this would make their whole – I don't even know how many games Michigan's lost. This would make their whole season if they were able to win this game. And they think they have the formula for beating Ohio State. They think that they're just tougher and more physical. They're going to try to pound them right up the middle, shorten the game. You know, Michigan wants to try to win this game 17-14, get a couple turnovers off of Will Howard or whatever. You know, they do have some good players on defense like Mason Graham and some of the other kids they've got on that side of the ball that give them a chance to keep the scoring low for Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's clearly better, but, you know, they're just coming off this big win over Indiana, and now they're ranked so high, and everybody's saying, oh, they're so great, and they're the national champ favorites a little bit, and you would think that there wouldn't be any letdown, and you'd think that, you know, it's Michigan, right? And Ryan Day talks about how important the game is. We all know how important the game is, but I think this is an interesting spot. Let's put it this way. I do not think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game. My guess is Ohio State still wins it, but I think it's going to be a competitive game. I really do. Maybe I'm just hoping that because I'll be watching it, but I think it's going to be a competitive game because this is all hands on deck for Michigan, pulling out all the stops, whatever cliche you want to use.
Ross, great stuff as always, buddy. Very, very, very happy to have you as always. And I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, buddy. Appreciate you.
Likewise. I can't believe we didn't talk food at all, Nick. That's stunning and disappointing. And maybe I take back everything I just said about it being a good show for you guys, or a good interview for you guys. What's the star of your show tomorrow, Nick?
The star of my show tomorrow, it's all of it. I'm going undefeated.
No, you can only pick one. Like, what's the best thing?
Stuffing.
That's not a bad choice, but stuffing, turkey, gravy,
only time of the
potatoes.
Year I eat stuffing. I love it. I love it on Thanksgiving.
Really? Only time of the year?
Only time of the year.
Two things about that. Number one, we all like stuffing. We should eat it other times of the year. I think it's weird that we only eat it on Thanksgiving. And number two, have you guys ever heard of filling? In
Isn't
particular,
it the same
potato
thing?
Filling.
And the same thing, you just put in the turkey?
No, filling is like a Pennsylvania Dutch item.
You're so disgusted with that. Like, no.
It's stuffing. It's kind of like stuffing and mashed potatoes combined.
Oh.
It's called potato filling. So it's the same way you make the stuffing, but you have the mashed potatoes in it. It's way better than just regular stuffing. My wife learned the recipe from her grandmother. It's amazing. It's the number one item. And I feel bad for everybody listening that doesn't know what it is and won't have it tomorrow. Too bad for you guys.
I don't know if I can roll the dice on the one year I get stuff, or the one time a year I get stuffing. I don't know.
I'm looking at pictures of it. It does look pretty damn good, Ross.
Sounds good.
Are you guys ready for the later dudes? I'm ready.
Yes.
Yes.
Later dudes.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We'll react to what he had to say. But the dangerous game for Ohio State next on 92.3 The Fan.